think about the person you really care about, the person you enjoy spending time with. A phone call or text from this person makes your day so much better and richer. The one you want to share life's most significant and sometimes insignificant moments with. It could be your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your crush, your family member, or a friend. Do you have someone in mind? First of all, good for you. Second of all, imagine for a second that this person feels the same way about you like you do about them. This person that you have in mind right now loves and cares about you, cherishes you the same way you cherish them, if not more. How amazing would that relationship be? I know I would definitely want to be in a relationship like that. Anywhere you go, anywhere you go, give it all. Anywhere you say, anywhere you say, anywhere. Hey y'all, it's your girl Sharon Boydua Boydu. You can call me Shari if you love what I do. I am so excited that you landed on my podcast, and I am so honored that you decided to take time and listen to this episode. From the theme episode that I released before, it is obvious that we have a lot to unpack in this episode. But before that, I just want to ask, how have you been? Are you good? Are you taking care of yourself? In the midst of all the busyness, are you taking time to learn about yourself and prioritize yourself above all things? Are you eating right and drinking your water? I really hope that your answer to all these questions is yes. I hope that you are giving off your very best even when it's very hard sometimes. No matter what situation you are in or what you are battling with, remember that God is still on the throne. There hasn't been any coup d'etat in heaven, and there would never be one. The one on the throne loves you so much, and he has promised that he will work out everything for your good. So just keep praying, keep waiting, keep pressing, keep believing, and keep hoping. I want you to know that the world sees you. I see you trying, and I believe in you, and I believe for the very best for you. Well, as you already know, we are discussing relationships this month. This is the second time that relationships have been the theme of the month, and so you can go check out the first one if you haven't heard it yet. It's called Relationship Seasons, and I know you would like it. So on today's episode, I will be taking you through one of the best songs about one of the most painful emotions to ever feel in a relationship. The irony, right? The emotion I'm referring to is rejection, and I'll be zoning in on a form of rejection called unrequited love. Unrequited is a very pretty word, and it means not returned. So when put together with love, it basically means love not returned. Love is said to be unrequited or not returned when one party does not acknowledge or accept the love from another party. There are so many displays of unrequited love currently, and it has served as the theme for a lot of movies and a lot of songs over time. We hear it in Halsey's Without You, Bruno Mars's When I Was Your Man, Adele's One and Only. We've also seen it in movies like The Notebook, Always Be My Baby, and the second part of To All the Boys I've Ever Loved. I dare to take this a step further, away from the fiction world, and say that I'm pretty sure that we've all experienced unrequited love at some point in our lives. It doesn't necessarily have to be between the opposite sexes or be in a committed relationship. Unrequited love expresses itself in so many forms and levels. Actually, there are 5 levels of unrequited love, and I would love to take you through them so that you can understand what I mean by we've all experienced unrequited love at some point in our lives, and also to help you get a better and a deeper understanding as to what exactly we are talking about today. The first level is crushing on someone who is unavailable. Now, let me just say that every human being on earth has or is experiencing this level of unrequited love. This is the kind of love we harbor for people we harbor for people who cannot receive or even experience the love. the love we have for celebrities, for movie stars, for singers, among others. It goes for both men and women both ways, but I'll focus on between a man and a woman because that's where I have the most experience in when it comes to this level. Now, in as much as we know that nothing can ever happen between us and these people, we still harbor the love anyway because we admire them. These people, 9 out of 10 times, do not even know we exist in this world. But in our minds, we are probably married to them, living in a mansion by the beach with 3 kids. Let me tell y'all something. Because of the hopeless romantic that I am, and considering the fact that I do not do so well in relationships, this level of unrequited love is the story of my life. Those who know me know that I have countless celebrity crushes and I take all of them very seriously. From hip-hop and R&B singers to gospel singers to movie stars to K-drama actors and to my recent obsession, BTS. I remember not so long ago, I used to have the biggest crush on Tremaine Alden Neverson. And for those who don't know who that is, that's the birth name of Trey Songz. I am not even exaggerating when I tell y'all that I had walked on the beach with him, featured in one of his music videos, been on stage with him, met his family, and even married him. All in my head though. I was literally in love with this fine man, but then who wouldn't? He's a very fine specimen of a man. Now, let me tell you how my unrequited love for Trey Songz ended. He gave birth to a beautiful baby boy last 2 or 3 years ago, I guess, and he announced it to the world on his IG page with pictures of him, the boy, and his baby mama. When I saw those pictures, my first emotion was happiness, but after a few minutes, out of nowhere, I started to feel this sense of jealousy and hurt swell up within me. I was legit hurt and sad by the fact that I was not the woman. See, I knew it was crazy when it was happening, but now that it's coming out of my mouth, it even sounds crazier. But at that time, it was really painful and heart-wrenching. And that is the thing about unrequited love. It hurts. No matter what level it's at, it really hurts. It hurts because we are social beings and we naturally crave the acceptance and the love of other people. So it is the rejection associated with the unrequited love that hurts. And I've heard it being said that the part of the brain that is activated when we experience physical pain is the same part of the brain that is activated when we experience emotional pain. The hurt associated with being rejected can feel like cutting your finger with a knife or burning yourself. Yeah, it's that deep. So never let anyone belittle any emotional pain you are going through just because they cannot see you physically hurt. Let me say that again. Do not let anyone belittle any emotional pain you are going through just because they cannot see you physically hurt. And do not belittle those feelings either. The semi-good news, however, is that it's easier to get over the hurt depending on the level of unrequited love you are at. So in my case, since it was a level 1, it was easier for me to get over Trey Songz. I just had to make up my mind, delete his many pictures from my phone and laptop, and also delete all of his songs, and I was done. The only thing I couldn't do was unfollow him on IG because I needed the daily reminder that it's possible for a human being to look as fine as him. Anywho, that is the level 1. It's easier to get over the person because we already know in our subconscious that nothing could ever happen between us and this person. Now, the second level of unrequited love is a lot harder to get over relative to the first one, and if not handled with care, it can lead to a lot of complications and unnecessary drama. Crushing on someone nearby without contact. Here, the person is near you, available, so to speak, but you haven't told the person or shown any sign that you are interested in him or her. People normally find themselves in this level of unrequited love for many reasons, and I found 2. 1, because of lack of confidence in themselves. It would be very difficult to express any form of affection towards someone else when you believe that the person is not on your level. You might probably feel less than, insecure, and the most common phrase often used is, "This person can never fall for someone like me." So because of this, because of the fear of rejection, we keep quiet and keep our feelings to ourselves. I would admit that feeling unworthy for your partner can be real, but those feelings are not final. You are worthy in God's eyes. The creator of the universe, the one who made your crush, says that you are worthy of all the love. So focus your attention on the affirmation that you get from your Heavenly Father and forget about your feelings and what your feelings are telling you. Don't disqualify yourself where God has already qualified you. As long as you genuinely love this person and you've sought God's direction about it and He approves, pursue it. And if the person does not appreciate you or accept you for who you are, then that is not your person. The second reason is one that I find to be a bit manipulative. This is where someone does not say anything about their true intentions for the relationships, but they go ahead to pursue a platonic relationship as a way of getting into the good books of their love interest. So for example, a guy approaches me, right? And he says he wants to be friends, but he knows deep down in his heart that he wants to be more than that. But for some reason, he pretends as if he just wants a platonic relationship. And then later on, when he gets into my good books and he gets to know me better, then he flips the script. Gentlemen, don't do that. Ladies, don't do that. Let's not waste each other's time, okay? You either let your real intentions be known or you sit tight, period. The last thing I'm going to say about this level is that it is hard to get over this level because of the interaction that already exists between the two parties. Pursuing the love interest and getting rejected is the third level of unrequited love. This one is very self-explanatory. I believe this is the most common level of unrequited love, where here the attachment is strong, the rejection hits home, and it's harder to get over. We see it all the time. Y'all ever see the videos where the guy will be crying, like bawling his eyes out, phlegms and everything, because a girl broke his heart after everything he supposedly did for the girl? Or let me say it another way, his love got rejected. If care is not taken, this could lead to a lot of emotional trauma, depression, low self-esteem, suicide. Did I just say suicide? Suicide and an array of unimaginable pain. A person in this level needs to remember that the rejection is not the end of the world. It might feel like it is, but it's not. The rejection does not finalize who you are. If it was meant for you, God will let you have it. He loves you too much to withhold anything good from you. Just stay in His presence and allow Him to use the experience to mature you. Now, let's move on to the fourth level, which is an unequal love relationship. This happens in a relationship where the two parties want different things. In order to feel loved in a relationship, men and women want different things because we were born different. We both have different needs, and mostly when we do not know how to meet them, we end up in unrequited love situations. So for example, the woman probably wants attention and the man on the other hand wants respect in order to feel loved. But the woman thinks the man needs sex to feel love. Can we be real? Because it happens. The man thinks the woman needs gifts. So in a relationship like this, both parties will experience unrequited love because their needs are not being met in the way that they want it to be met. So in their heads, their love is not being reciprocated. This level is obviously really hard to get over because the partners are already in a committed relationship and they are both deeply invested in each other. That is why it is very, very important to learn the love languages of our partners, no matter the stage that we are in our relationship. The last level of unrequited love is longing for a past lover. Simply put, you want your ex back, but your ex doesn't want you back. This level is also so hard to get over because of the past attachment and the investment. This level can also lead people to do all manner of things in order to get their exes back. The caution here is to make sure that you do not allow a moment of loneliness to lead you to want something that you've already decided is not good for you. If God told you to let that person go, trust Him. Yes, you will feel lonely for a season, and of course you're going to miss them, and that's okay. Just make sure that you are focused on what God told you to do and on Him alone. So, these are the five levels of unrequited love that I found, and it could be more than that, but for now, this is what I know, and I want you to identify which level you are in case you are experiencing unrequited love. On this episode, we are going to identify the level a certain lady was in when she wrote this song and then talk about the dynamics of that level for a bit. Interestingly, this level is the most common one, so I think this discussion is about to get very interesting. I had to go through all of that to get to this very moment where I introduce to you the song and the discussion today. Drum rolls, please. Just a Friend by Jamie Grace Collins. Now, if you've been a Christian for any amount of time and you are young, you must know who Jamie Grace is. Jamie writes and produces pop music, and she is the host of a pop culture inspired podcast. She also has a media company called 91, and she has an amazing merch collection, and she's involved in a lot of amazing things. She has anxiety, Tourette's, OCD and ADHD, but that does not stop her from creating things that help us find joy even when it is impossible. She has a book called Finding Quiet. She is a mother of a beautiful baby girl and married to the first man she ever really dated, called Aaron. She has a very interesting love story, and I think everybody should check it out, especially for people who feel pressured by culture to be in relationships or people who are waiting till marriage. Jamie Grace is such an inspiration to my generation, and I personally see her as my alter ego because she says the things that I'm scared to say and helps me put words to things and feelings that I might not necessarily have the words for. Her songs are full of practicality and real life situations, and Just a Friend is no different. Just a Friend was released in 2014 as part of her album called Ready to Fly, and it talks about how Jamie had a crush on someone who wasn't interested in her even after letting her feelings known. So from what we've learned earlier about the levels of unrequited love, I'm sure we already know what this level this falls under. So without further ado, let's move on to the lyrics of the song. The first verse talks about how Jamie Grace was walking in a certain hallway. She saw her crush with all of his friends, and everything around her moved in slow motion. Doesn't this sound just like the beginning of a romance movie? Do you know the movie that this brings to mind? Vampire Diaries. You know the scene where Stefan Salvatore went to Mystic Falls, Mystic Falls High School for the first time, and he had his shades on and his black leather jacket, and Caroline and Bonnie and Alina saw him pass by in the hallway and they were just staring at him just because he was so fine and everything was just in slow motion? Yes, that is it. Well, I guess we all have that one moment where we see our crush and we feel like we are in a different dimension. I don't know about everything moving in slow motion, but I guess it goes to show the kind of intense feeling we have when we see our crushes, even if it's only on a screen, and that's for my people experiencing level one unrequited love. Now, back to Jamie Grace's story. Apparently, it's hard for her to be cool when she feels like the guy is looking at her, and her friends think she's crazy, and she agrees. The key phrase here is when she feels the guy looking at her. Listen, it would have been all right for her not to be cool when she sees the guy actually looking at her. But here is the case, she just feels like the guy is looking at her. So it can be that in actuality, the guy might not even be watching her. No, I can relate to this so much. Let me just ask this. Is it just me? Or do you also just start to act so extra whenever you feel like someone might be watching you? For me, I start to smile a lot. I become a lot more careful with what I do. I walk a little bit more elegantly, not because I know someone is watching me, but just because I feel like it. In most cases, the people or the person in question is doing nothing like that. And then I feel stupid for putting on a show for someone who was not even watching. All I'm trying to say is that I really know what Jimmy Grace is singing about. Now, moving on to the most relatable part of the song for me, she says, and I quote, "And I can be immature when I'm lying on the floor, photoshopping us together like I'm all yours. But you just learned my name, and I think that's kind of whack. Have you seen my sweet shoes and my new backpack yet? You remember when I told you how I was fantasizing and imagining doing things with Trey Songz? Jimmy Grace did the same thing with her crush. She was photoshopping the two of them together in a relationship, and the guy literally just learned her name. In the verse, she asks if her crush has seen her new sweet shoes and her new backpack, which I think symbolizes how her crush does not really pay attention to her that much. So here's the rundown. She likes this guy. She's imagining and photoshopping the two of them together. She cannot be cool around this guy, probably because she gets nervous. But the guy, on the other hand, just learned her name and he doesn't pay a lot of attention to her. Wow. That must really hurt, don't you think so? Jimmy Grace just goes on to say that she thinks the actions of this guy is kind of whack, as she should. Now, don't come at me saying, oh, how would her crush know these things about her when she hasn't even told him anything? Relax. You will understand why we both think this guy is kind of whack. One thing that stands out to me in this verse, however, is that she called her daydreaming, in her own words, photoshopping with her crush, as immature. And when you think about it, it really is. Like, why do we form situations and scenarios in our heads and act like it's really happening when we are not even in the position to make it happen? It is due to the imaginative abilities God has given us as human beings. It is one of the most powerful tools He has equipped us with, the ability to imagine something that is different from our current situation. It brings hope, and it fuels our faith. And if we imagine the right things that are in line with God's will, it fuels the faith that we need to cause God to make it happen. So, if our imagination is this powerful, why spend it imagining something with a guy that's not even minding you, when you can use it for something much more productive? See, the thing with imagination is that it is neutral, just like faith. You are the one who directs which path they should take. If you imagine more negative things, it's going to fuel your faith, which then produces more negative, and vice versa. We cannot let our imaginations run wild and leave it to do whatever it wants. Like everything else in our lives, we have to submit our imagination to the Word of God and use it to imagine things that bring purpose and peace and self-worth. And I'm telling y'all, no one needs to hear this more than me. If you listen to my very first episode, I told y'all how I have a wild imagination. And that is so true. Listen, if you ever see me talking to myself, just mind your business and move on, because that is my imagination at work. So, I understand where Jimmy Grace is coming from, and I also need to check myself to make sure I'm not spending my imagination on things that snatch away my self-worth little by little. Jimmy Grace goes on to say, and I quote, "Somebody tell me why this hurts so bad. Why can't I find someone like my dad? I love you, Dad." We've already addressed the reason why unrequited love hurts, so we don't have to go there again. I just think it's really great that she's actually looking for someone that's like her dad. It goes to show that her dad gave her a great example of what being a man is all about. And my prayer for all my ladies is that we will get an example of a great man. It can be a dad, an uncle, a friend. We get that example in our lives, and we get someone who treats us right so that we can have the right standard and expectation for our men. Now, I'm going to skip the chorus for now and talk about the second verse. In verse 2, Jamie's approach takes a different turn, even though her situation remained the same. She starts by stating that it's possible for anyone listening to her, or even her crush, to think she's too young to feel the way she does. Before I move on, let me just ask this. Do you think there's an age limit when it comes to feeling attracted to the opposite sex? Does love know age? And I use the word love advisably. Because let's be frank, I'm sure we've all been told at one point in our lives that we are too young to know love or too young to be in a relationship. is it about the love itself or is it about something else? Because if I'm being totally honest, the first time I felt attracted to a guy was in primary four or so. And it was not the sexual kind of attraction. I genuinely liked this person and found him interesting. Although at that time, I couldn't put the words to those feelings yet. So let me know your thoughts about this. Does love know age, especially in this age where children and everyone for that matter is exposed to so much? Send me an email or a DM. All of my socials will be in the description box of this episode. Jamie Grace goes on to make an admission that I think would probably be very difficult for us to do should we find ourselves in her situation. That is finally accepting that her love interest might not be so interested in her. To quote her directly, she says, "To you, I'm just a crush that won't go away." And this is where I say her approach changed. So she goes on to say that even if her crush moves on and have a happy life, probably with another girl, she would pray for him because she would be doing just fine. Now, this kind of energy doesn't come just like that. It takes God on the inside of a person and faith to admit that you cannot have what you want and you are fine with that. It takes an even deeper faith to go a step further to pray for this person. So she literally went from "why does this hurt so much" in verse 1 to "I'll pray for you and I know I'll be fine" in verse 2. That sure is amazing, but I don't think it happened in a short span of time. I'm sure it took her a while to move from verse 1 to verse 2, but once she got to verse 2, the time did not even matter anymore because she was whole. Let me ask you this. If you were in Jamie Grace's shoes, would you be like Jamie or would you have turned bitter, sad, depressed or angry? Don't tell me, just think about it and relate it to other aspects of your life. How do you feel when you don't get something that you wanted? Remember that your actions and your reactions in situations like these reveal who or what has your heart. Jamie then asks another question about why love takes so long, and then she mentioned watching Reba with her mom. I'm guessing Reba is a movie or TV series. At least that's what I found on Google when I searched. Before we move on to the chorus, I want to present to you epic news. And in this segment, I get to talk about one of the biggest news making rounds in the gospel industry. I don't know if y'all can tell already, but I am so excited to talk about this. It is the 52nd Annual Gospel Music Association Dove Awards. This award show was hosted in Nashville, and it was hosted by Natalie Grant and my forever crush, Jonathan McReynolds. The theme for the event was Stronger Together, and man, it was an amazing show. I enjoyed every single part of it. We had performances from We The Kingdom, CeCe Winers, Kane, Dante Bo, Jonathan McReynolds and Mali Music, Lauren Daigle, Brandon Lake, Hope Dust, Maverick City, Natalie Grant, and a whole lot of other people, Elevation Worship. They were all repping. Now, let me take you through the awards and let you know who won what. So for Contemporary Gospel Album of the Year, the award went to Corinne Hawthorne with her album I Am. A Week Away won the Inspirational Film of the Year. This movie, I'm going to look for it and watch it because it looked really good. CeCe Winers won Gospel Artist of the Year. We The Kingdom won Contemporary Christian Artist of the Year. Elevation Worship won Worship Recorded Song of the Year with Grace Into Gardens. And Carrie Jobs, Cody Kanz, and Elevation Worship won the Song of the Year with The Blessing. Maverick City Music won an award, and a whole lot of other people. You guys should check the Doze Award out. It's on YouTube, on the TBN YouTube channel. I promise you, when you watch it, you are going to enjoy every single part of it. And it's going to help you see the songs that are doing really well in the gospel industry, and go download it and listen to them if you haven't listened to them yet. honestly, I'm very, very, very happy that we have award shows like this, because it just makes the whole gospel industry a lot better, and it helps give credit to who credit is due, because those guys are doing so well. The gospel music nowadays are just the bomb. I love every single one of them, and congratulations to every single person who was nominated. Congratulations to every single person who won an award. And the performances, oh my God. I cannot even pick my favorite performance because they were all so good. Listen, go watch the Dove Awards. I promise you, you will enjoy it. The Grammy is coming up. We have a lot of nominations from the gospel industry. I'm going to follow the Grammys and make sure to update you when it happens in the month of November. Now, let's move on to the main topic itself. Like I said earlier, in the first and second verses, the situation hasn't changed, only the approach did. Jamie was still experiencing unrequited love in those verses, so the chorus that followed each of the verses had her questioning her crush as to why he cannot see what she was seeing, which is the two of them together. Apparently, this guy keeps insisting that she's just a friend. That is where the title of the song comes from, and that is also the reason why I support Jamie when she says the guy not knowing her name is kind of whack. Like, y'all remember that at the beginning of the song? Listen, if you're not going to return the love, the least you can do is know my name. You actually know I have a crush on you, so how do you not know my name? Like, just keep my first name in your head. Is that too much to ask for? If this was a level 1 unrequited love, I would have understood, but a level 3? Come on! At this point, I'm feeling very, very grieved. Now, the next part of the song is a rap by a guy called Manuel, and it gives us solutions to the level 3 unrequited love. So what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to play that part of the song for Epic Lyric as my favorite part of the song, which it is, and then I'm going to come back and talk to you about the solutions I found in there. So, here is Epic Lyric. Enjoy.
You ain't gotta rush, love girl, slow down. Okay. When you meet him, you gon' know, wanna know how. He gon' treat you right, make you the queen of life. If he don't, then I'ma take him out. Psych, all kidding aside, God has the perfect one that was made for you, designed to worship God, and he sees your beauty and true purpose. So baby sis, trust the process, it's worth it.
So Father, I will place this in your hands.
That's right.
You know me and all my crazy
day, it all boils down to who God has endorsed and approved for your life. We can crush and be attracted to whoever we want, but if God's hand is not in it from the beginning, it's not gonna go anywhere. Trust me, I've seen it happen and I have experienced it. The one that God's hand is in it, Krano, sometimes it's not easy, not the one that he's not in it. My dear, it doesn't matter even if you end up in a relationship with this person. If God's oil is not on it, I repeat, it won't go anyway. So then, the big question becomes, how do I know God's hand is in it? Evaluate your crush, your attraction, your love interest, your relationship, and ask yourself, did God start this or did I? Did you start seeing this person in an attempt to fill a void or keep yourself busy or make yourself feel better? Or did God actually bring this person to you? And this can be applied to a lot of other things in our lives. And I can bet you that it will cancel out 90% of the things that we do and the people that we engage with for the wrong reasons. Another question you can ask yourself is the relationship or the person robbing you of God's promise in your life? Practically speaking, is your relationship or crush affirming the identity God has given you, or does every word he speaks or every word she speaks chip away some of your self-worth? Does your crush or your relationship affirm God's promise of purity to you, or does one look from him or her make you want to do things that you know you are not supposed to do? Y'all know what I'm talking about, and the list can go on and on and on. I think this is one of the questions that helped me let go of the person I lost and find peace, even though I was still hurting. I realized that spending time with this person made me lose myself, and I did things I never thought I'd be able to do, and the person I became was not who God created me to be. So that gave me the assurance that no matter how much it hurts, I am doing the right thing by letting go. We have to learn to trust the process and wait. The wait and the process doesn't mean boredom or loneliness. No. It's the time to work on yourself and take time to learn about yourself and love yourself for who you really are. What makes you happy? What makes you sad or angry? What do you enjoy doing? And how do you want your future to look like? Channel your imaginative powers to this and let the crushes be. When you are ready, your person will find you. And you can only get ready by working on yourself. This thing called relationship, those who are in it want a way out, and those who are outside of it want to get in. My dear, there's no point rushing into it and worrying about it. Notice how after the rap that we just listened to, Jimmy Grace's stand completely changes. She says, and I quote, "So Father, I will place this in your hands. You know me and all of my crazy friends. Humbly, I surrender this to you. I'll keep dreaming, you keep coming through." This should be our response every time, to submit it to God. Even if you are still attracted to this person, submit it to God. That doesn't mean you just sit there inactive. No. What submitting to God does is that it gives you new lenses to see through. Now you don't see your crush through the lenses of your feelings or attractions or emotions, but you see him or her through what God says about you and the situation, and that gives you a clear head to make decisions. In the last part of the song, Jimmy Grace goes ahead to finally accept to just be a friend, trusting that God sees what she can't see and believing that her happiness does not rely on her crush accepting her love. I really do hope that no matter the level of unrequited love that we are in, we will 1. Submit it to God. 2. Put ourselves first. 3. Evaluate our attractions. 4. Not be afraid to let go, and if we are, we do it afraid. And 5. Trust the process and wait on the Lord. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I really enjoyed bringing this to you. This episode is going to be one of my favorites so far because of how relatable the song is. Now, if you've listened up to this point, then it's obvious that you like me. You know you like me. Why don't you just hit the subscription button and follow me on all of my socials so that we can be internet buddies. All of my socials will be in the description box of this episode, as well as my email in case you want to send me your thoughts, your questions, your experience, or some gospel news that you found on the interwebs. Also, share this episode to your friends, recommend the podcast to your friends, and most importantly, leave me a review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, and I will make sure to read it in one of the episodes. The song we discussed today is Just a Friend by the one and only Jimmy Grace Collins. Go listen to the song if you haven't already. Thank you for listening once again. And until we meet again, be safe, be happy, be you. Bye.